Many times we see this a lot as we go to different places, different nations. The devil's strategy is really to rob us from our inheritance in God. But God always wants to restore us. And therefore, I really felt this morning He did something very solid in our hearts. Something very deep. Okay? Enjoy your healing. Stay in that healing, you know. Stay in God. Whenever you have perhaps rejection coming to your heart, wounds of the past coming to your heart, deal with it so that your emotions will not be raw, because God has touched you. He's brought you into that place of healing. He's brought you into that place of restoration with Him. All right? Okay, let's continue with where we left on last night. And it's very interesting because this morning I'm going to talk about freedom from the voice of accusation within us. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. That is step four, okay? The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. You see, most of the time, right from the moment we were young until, you know, as long as we are not wounded, when we are young and you feel that love, yeah, all right. But once you have experienced the wounds, everyone experiences it, okay? Sometimes it is passed on when we have, when our moms are conceiving us, those kind of emotions. And so it is important that we allow God to deal with us in those areas, because otherwise when we grow up, we find that, you know, our minds might be telling us negative things. Things that run us down. Things that brings condemnation to us due to things that have happened in the past. Now, one of the ways in which we have to deal with this negative voice or this voice of accusation within us is this. Make sure we are walking right with God. Make sure we are living within the boundaries that God has set for us. If at all we don't have values because of the way we have been brought up, we need to come up into that place where we must take hold of the biblical values of God. Okay? We must live in that so that the devil will not find a way, an open door, in which we will be accused. The devil will always try to accuse us before the presence of God. And not only that, he will put thoughts in our minds. How many of us ever experience this? Even before we get up from bed, you're about to get up, suddenly you have a lot of thoughts in your mind. And it's like as if your mind is talking, racing away. Anyone of you experience that? Okay. Sometimes it's the things that we have experienced the night before, or there's something that is ruffling our inner man. But that is also what we call the mind-controlling spirit. Because this mind-controlling spirit is activated by witchcraft. Witchcraft doesn't mean someone just putting a charm. In the Far East, there are lots of charms like that. But witchcraft can also mean someone that is trying to persuade you or influence you by their soulish prayers. That means prayers that come from their soul. Prayers that are not according to the will of God, but prayers that are wanting to bend you over to what the person wants you to do. It can be Christian, it can be non-Christian. If it is a Christian, the Christian will pray even in Jesus' name, which is sad, because we can only pray in Jesus' name according to the will of God. But when a Christian begins to pray soulish prayers according to the name of Jesus, because it is soul, it comes up from the soul, motivated by the flesh, motivated by selfish desires, you will find that demonic activities will ride on it. Okay? Will ride on it and start to attack us. Now, it's important that each one of us must have clear-cut relationships with people that are good-hearted. Very important, because when a person is evil, a person can send curses. Of course, positionally, we are in Christ, but it does affect us every now and then, because evil people, it's like they release toxic out of your soul. Have you ever been with people where you just know that just being with them, you just feel, oh. Okay? So remember, the word of God is actually giving us boundaries. But it says, evil people corrupts good morals. Or people with bad morals can corrupt us. That means it's like we need to be wise to even choose the kind of friends that we have. It is important because once we are Christians, it's not that, you know, we are proud. It's just that our values have changed. We are just different. I have actually two classmates in Perth. From Malaysia, they have migrated to Perth. But somewhat, I just don't feel a link in my spirit to contact them. It's not because I am too good and they're very bad. Nothing to do with that. It's just that I just could not find a clicking in my spirit. Okay? And so therefore, we got to protect our hearts. Guard our emotions. Guard your emotions. Because the enemy might keep on trying to fish something that you have already settled under the blood of Jesus. The word of God says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, you know, when we confess our sins before God, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sometimes the enemy just attacks us with accusation in our minds. Or we hear people, like as if people accusing us. When we hear that, that's the, that is what you call also the mind-controlling spirit at work. And so what do you need to do? You need to break it. You know, simple way. So in the name of Jesus, I break every accusation that's against me in the realm. I break every mind-controlling spirit that is targeting over my mind. I declare my freedom in God in Jesus' name. I forbid this voice of accusation to attack me. I'm a child of God. You begin to declare the opposite. After you break, you declare the opposite. I am a child of God. I have the mind of Christ and I walk in my freedom. Okay? It's like we take that ground. And as we take that ground, we will find that positionally, God keeps us. God begins to hold us in. Alright? So, it is important that even in the area of learning to hear the voice of God, we got to recognize the voices that we hear. Because number one, okay, we have the voice of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks something to us, He always lifts us up. Okay? He always lifts us up. That means He's not going to make us proud. But He begins to encourage us. The Holy Spirit is a tremendous encourager. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction. Now, yesterday I said something, but I forgot one part, okay? Because it might come up across like that. So I better clarify. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we feel comfortable, but sometimes we may not feel comfortable. That is, if we are convicted of some things in our lives and we are finding a struggle. Okay? The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. And let me just say this. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring in conviction whenever He does. Take heed to that. Make amendments if you need to. Because you do not want the voice of the Holy Spirit to become like, you know, fading away. Because the Holy Spirit will not strive with man forever. That means we are not to put Him to the test. I remember many times when we go for ministry, at one point people were using a lot of Walkman. They were collecting a lot of prophecies. There's nothing wrong with that. We all love the prophetic word, you know. What is God saying to us now? And there was this lady in Australia. Let's talk about Australia. Years ago, I was ministering in one of the churches here. And there was this lady that I got to know, and every time she would just collect prophecies. And after six times, the sixth prophecy, exactly the same as the first one, she did not do anything. She just kept on collecting it. And one day she visited me in Penang, together with many others that were there. And there was a visiting prophet from Australia. And again, here goes her Walkman. And so I asked her, did you do anything about the prophecies that you received? No, not yet. I say, if not yet, this might be the seventh prophecy. I think you are taking God to a test. Don't collect. Just act it out. Just do the will of God. Okay? So it's important for us to recognize this. That when God says something to us, He wants us to obey Him. Because in the place of obeying God, we will be blessed. Our God is such a good God. He's such a good Father. He will not deprive us of anything. If He asks us to let go of something, it's because He has something better in store for us. Sometimes, at that moment, we can't see, we cannot understand. Remember, yesterday I laid the foundation. We don't have to know why first. We just obey. Later on, we will know why. Okay? So make sure that we are free from the voice of accusation within us. Because your freedom and my freedom is important. It's the freedom from accusation, freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation, freedom from rejection, that we will be so secure that when we hear, we will discern whether it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the voice of the devil will put us down, the devil will say, oh, you are no good, you are not good enough, but God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, my sheep will hear my voice and the voice of a stranger, he will not follow. John 10 verse 27. So we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can also hear the voice of the devil. Third one, we can hear our human voice. Okay, so these are the three voices that we must discern. Which is which? Is that voice from God? Is that voice from the devil? Or is it a human voice? Your own conscience. Okay, your own conscience. Do you know that our conscience will also speak to us? If we do anything that is wrong, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us. Inside our spirit man, there will be like warning sign, ming, ming, ming. Okay, maybe other sound. A silent sound. Don't know how to make that. Or it may be our human voice. And sometimes if we have pride in our hearts, that human voice would lead us into deception. Because that pride is already covering our eyes, we cannot see. That's why the elements of our hearts are very important. Where our heart is, how is the condition of our heart? Actually, no one can really know how is the condition of your heart. Only the Holy Spirit and you yourself will know to the fullness. Sometimes if you have been living in the past, having a lot of deception, and you have not dealt with it yet, you will not know whether it's a human voice or the voice of God or the voice of the devil, because there's a lot of mixture. We were in the Philippines in the month of April, and there was this guy, OJ. He's not here, I can talk about him, but he's all right because we have spoken to him, okay? There was this guy, OJ. During the time in this particular meeting, after the meeting, because the Holy Spirit was moving, he got very excited. It's good to be excited. It's good to have someone alive in God than someone who's so dead in God. It's good to have someone that is on fire for God than when someone does not have a fire, and when a fire comes, the person keeps on throwing cold water to douse the fire. Okay? He was on fire for God and he started to come out and he started to prophesy. The first part was beautiful in the spirit. Then suddenly from the spirit, he switched on to the flesh. How would you know when it's a flesh? You also know by the Holy Spirit within you. You also know because the Holy Spirit will quicken you to know. But the only way is this. You've got to make sure your spirit man is sensitized. That means is that, you know, you build yourself up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways in which you keep your spirit man sensitive. While I'm talking, I have a very interesting picture in my mind. How many of us here have ever experienced sensitive tooth? Where cold air goes in or something hot or cold that you begin to drink, oh wow, you feel it. But thank God that kind of a situation does not last forever. You have Colgate. You apply to the, you know, almost root of it, I mean to the tooth, and after that it goes off. It's better than Sensodyne, but I'm not doing sales today. But you see, it's that sensitivity, okay? That sensitivity that we must have in God, that we must become so sensitive to pick up things in the dimension of the Spirit. Otherwise, a lot of different voices will be going about And each and everyone's, every voice that you hear, you may think it is from God. So this guy, he was moving in the spirit, then in the flesh, and in the spirit, then in the flesh. And I was just looking at him. I said, this guy needs to be tuned. He needs to be tuned. The flesh needs to be crucified. Now, I use the word tuned. That means there needs to be fine tuning of what we hear. Because not everything that we hear is from God. So we must have a fine tuning. Otherwise, the enemy will intrude into our mind, intrude into our thoughts. You see, words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oh, I'm going to share with you this. I remember this. In my early days, okay? At that time, I don't mind sharing this. He knows about it, it's fine. You see, how many of you here, you're single? One. Do you have a girlfriend? Not yet. Okay, good for you. Two. All right. Three. Four. This is for you, singles. But it also applies to those who are married. In certain areas, not that area, okay? But when I was single, I remember I was going through a time whereby, at that time, I had a boyfriend, not Joseph. He's so secure, it's fine, yeah? So I remember I was in love with this guy. He was in the ministry, but there was something not right and couldn't put my finger on, and I was miserable. I was crying a lot. When you're in a relationship, you don't want to be crying a lot. When you're crying a lot, something is not right, especially when you're single and you're dating somebody. Okay, the Bible does say, do not be unequally yoked. And really, that's what God means. That means the person has to be born again, because I'm born again. And not only that, the person has got to have the same values. Otherwise, you will see Star Wars later on. You see? And so during that time, I was most miserable. But the Holy Spirit was just doing something in my heart. I just, deep in my heart, I felt there was something not right, but I couldn't put it. And then, the funniest thing was this. Okay, I'm going into the fifth, step five. When different ones came to me and they said they were going to pray for me, I said, okay, go ahead and pray for me. Suddenly, they were picking up pictures that God was bringing a man into my life, and it didn't happen immediately. I tell you, after that, it took another 10 years. Okay? Now, this is for the singles. All right? Don't look around. You look up. Look up to God, let God build you up to be so secure, and God will bring you a godly, secure young lady. How about that? Amen. Are you flushing? Flush. It's all right. There are different ones hiding. That guy is hiding over there, so I can't see his face. It's all right. Okay. So anyway, I couldn't understand what was going on. Now, point number five, removing idols in your heart. You want to hear the voice of God? Make sure in your heart, okay? You're not adamant. That means in your heart, there is not something that you're putting your print in there and saying, yes, God, this has to be it. If you're so adamant, you cannot hear from God. Because that which you have in your heart may be an idol. Now, at that time, honestly, because being the first time, I was young, you know, I couldn't understand all these things. And I got very confused. Different ones prophesied over me. And they all said good things. But I was feeling something different. Listen to your knower within. Your knower is the Holy Spirit. That's a way of saying, okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit within you. He will cause you to bear witness whether that wish is from God or not. If it is not, you don't have the peace, you feel uneasy, run. Especially in this area. Okay? For those of you married, too late for you to pray whether it's God's will or not. You just got to walk through. This is the happy news for you. Okay? Now let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 14, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. This is a very important scripture. Very, very important. And it's going to save your life, really. Ezekiel chapter 14. Okay. In Ezekiel chapter 14, it says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Okay. Now here these are the sons. These are some of the elders of Israel. And they came. And the word of the Lord came to them. Saying, Son of man, this man has set up their idols in their hearts. And put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Now it's important that God will choose a human vessel to speak through. That human vessel may be you. That human vessel may be me. And therefore we must be so clear, we must learn to discern. You see, in hearing the voice of God, you are also learning to discern. You are also learning to judge. It's important to judge because in this world today, there are lots and lots of cults that have risen up. And you got to know God more than ever before. You got to know the voice of God. You got to know what the word of God says. Because when God says something, it's not going to contradict the will of God. Okay? So as long as you know what the word of God says and what you're receiving is in alignment with the will of God, you know it has got to be God. But if it is not in alignment with the will of God, the clearly stated word of God, then you know it can be the human interpretation. Human interpretation, there can be errors. Because we hear in part. We learn in part. That's why it's important that the word of God says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. We are not meant to be soloists. We should not be soloists. One of the things that I am grateful for just now is this. The Lord broke that independent spirit from each one of us. We are not to have independent spirit from God or from one another. That's why God put us together in the body of Christ. In the church. So that there will be checks and balances. Okay? So we need to discern. Sometimes people will come to us for prayer or for ministry and they have an idol in their heart. Okay? They have an idol in their heart. And so, in verse 4, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitudes of his idols. Now, isn't it strange that God will answer the person according to the multitude of his idols? It's scary, isn't it? But yet, on the other hand, that might be the only way in which God is using that to expose those idolatry that's in our hearts. Idolatry may not be a statue sitting down. It may be more than that. It may be a fanciful car that you have to clean and clean and clean day in and day out. Anything happens to your car, wow, you lost your cool. Excuse me, that's your idol. Okay, some of us, the idol, idolatry could be our food. We love to eat all the time. Okay, that means something has taken over us. It's like a drivenness. Let me just say this. You want to know the voice of the Holy Spirit? He leads you. He does not drive you. He leads you gently. Maybe, you know, too gently, we are too comfortable. He might just goad you. Makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable and then you will move. But if you are still haven't got a message and God wants to get the message through, he might jolt you. That will be the last resort, I think. So we need to discern. We need to weigh. We need to judge. But we cannot weigh, we cannot discern, we cannot judge unless we know the word of God. Second, we cannot weigh, we cannot judge, we cannot discern unless we know how God's voice is like. That's why it's important for you to understand. God will speak to us gently. He will speak to us sometimes like shout it to your spirit man when he wants to. For the simple fact, sometimes, excuse my English, we get a little bit thick up here. So, because if we are a little bit thick up here, God might have to shout it to us, or God might be teaching us another way in which he's wanting to speak to us so naturally, but so real, like as if the minute he speaks to us, you know. In fact, I really appreciate what God has been doing. For the past 2 weeks before I came, even here, while being here, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me in another way. I would call it another level, where it's just so natural. It's so spontaneous, anytime, any day. I love that. And when he speaks, even though I may be doing something, I just know that's him. I got this message. I like that. Because to me, it's like, oh Lord, it's so intimate. You know, like yesterday I was saying, yesterday I had this song that came to me, and I knew that God was saying also to us that we are friends with God. You know that song? I am a friend of God. There was one day, I was just learning how to play that in the piano. I play that better on with the guitar. But when I started to play it on the piano, started to sing, the Holy Spirit arrested my heart. And it was so beautiful, suddenly the realization that God has called me to be his friend. Wow, I wept and I wept and I wept. The presence of God just came over me. Now, there are instances in our lives whereby God's voice wants to come to us in that manner. He's just wooing us. Okay? Now, but when we have an idol in our hearts, that idol will replace the love of God. The idol will replace the voice of God in our hearts. Remove the idols. And also make sure that whenever you come for ministry or you approach God in prayer, make sure you get rid of anything that you desire so much, unless it is the desire of God. Unless you know that God has put a holy desperation in you so that you can pray. If it's a holy desperation, you will fall in love with Jesus again and again. Your love for him will not go cold. But if it's not from God, you will find that there's a tug of war. A war between your spirit and your soul. And when it is like that, you've got to give your soul up. I'm not saying die. I'm saying crucify the desires of your heart. Because there is a danger when we come to God with an idol in our heart. Even our vicious, W-I-S-H. God will give us his will. Okay? God will give us desires. The desires that he put in us. He will bring it to pass. But sometimes we wish for something so much, even if it's not the will of God. It's like we will try to bend the hand of God. There was this lady that we know back home in Malaysia. When she was younger, her desire was to marry someone in the corporate world. And so she married a non-Christian guy. And for years, she was struggling in a marriage. And then later on, because she's actually older than me, but maybe going back to about 5 or 7 years ago, she still wanted to have a baby. But she was very skinny. She looks actually very malnourished. It's not that she's malnourished. It's just that her physical makeup is like that. Sometimes some of us might want to give impartation. But it doesn't work that way. Okay, it doesn't work that way. That means impart some of the fat over. It doesn't work that way. And when I look at her physical health, now because of her age, it would be dangerous for her to have children. And moreover, she could not because she had multiple fibroids. She had 20-odd fibroids in her body. And she had been operated before, and after that, the fibroids returned. So I told her, I said, why don't you, I mean, she's been praying for years. Many people have prayed for her. We have prayed for her. And for her situation, I'm not talking about anyone here, all right? But for her situation, I told her, I said, why don't you adopt a baby since you love baby so much? No, I want to have my own child. So we've been telling her a lot of things, but she just insisted. And anytime she go for prayer, that would be that which she wanted. But for her, God did not give her a child. Now she's way past childbearing age, way past. But she went through years of pain, frustration because of that seemingly like barrenness. And each time those days she would pray, God, I want a child, I want a child, I want a child. Now, sometimes we don't understand everything. But all I can say is this, God knows the end from the very beginning. And in between these few years, I began to know why. Number one was because there were things that God needed to put in order between husband and wife. There were things that God needed to sort out because the husband couldn't get a job. Though she had a financial, she was actually a multi-millionaire, but there were areas in her life that was not right either. You see, whether we like it or not, but because God is our Heavenly Father, He knows. He knows the end from the very beginning. That scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 46, I believe. God knows the end from the very beginning. And therefore, if we have that assurance that God knows the end from the very beginning, that is in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. If we have such an assurance that God knows everything beforehand, for what reason sometimes things do not happen? Because God is saving us from more pain in the future. It's true. Had she known in the early days, she would not have got herself into a lot of problems. A lot, and I mean a lot, even though she was a believer. But not every area of her life is in alignment with God. There were lots and lots of idols. You see, once we are believers in God, we must be 100% believers, wanting the ways of God. Not half-half, not even 10% of our own will, our own desires. It does not work like that. Okay? So we need to allow God to remove the idols in our hearts. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 14. And in Ezekiel chapter 14, in verse 5, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart because they are all estranged from me by the idols. Idolatry is like a sucker. It will suck us away from God. Okay? And then in verse 6, it says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent! Turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abomination. So the only way is this, if we are to walk in freedom, repentance. Repentance is a lifestyle. Anytime we know we do wrong, we repent and make sure we don't continue to do that which is wrong. Because otherwise, our conscience will be seared. There will come a time when even God is speaking, we cannot hear anymore. Because it's like we are building up walls. Our conscience becomes so seared. There are layers and layers and layers and layers. Sometimes people cannot hear the voice of God or cannot feel God because of sin. Make sure it is not because of sin. You see, if we don't know how to hear His voice, we can learn. The Holy Spirit will teach us. But if it's because of sin, sin will block us from hearing. Okay? So we must make sure it is not sin. It is not idolatry. It's not our values that stand in the way. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes certain people, their conscience is so clear. The minute something is not right, you know, they just know something is not right and they won't do it. But for some people, it's all right. I don't see anything wrong in it. The reason why they don't see anything wrong in it is because their conscience has been seared. Or because they've been raised up that way. So they continue, because since their parents have done it that way, they continue. They look at it from the way they've been raised up. We need to lift up God's standard in our lives. We need to raise up the standard. Say, for example, in the nation of Philippines, it is so easy to find Christians even there telling lies. It is basically because it's a cultural thing. They will tell you, first of all, we are Filipinos, then we are Christians. It's dangerous. First of all, each one of us is a born-again Christian. We are neither Greek nor Jew. Isn't it true? We must not allow our culture to stand in the way, because for the Far East, witchcraft had been very potent, and Australia is not lesser either. I remember walking into Fremantle, walking into Hay Street in Perth. I experienced some occultic attack, where suddenly it was an invisible hand that pushed me. And then it was in one of the places, a shopping area. Not in a shopping mall, but it was like a street, I'm not sure where. But I was walking with a friend, and suddenly I felt like, like when you sit in the aeroplane and you have, what do you call it, air pockets. Like suddenly I was in this level walking, but in this, like as if my physical body just went, chook. You know, your whole entire head is like the equilibrium. And then I looked up, there it was, a witch's coven. All these things are very real. We live in the spirit world as well. In fact, the spirit world is far more real than the natural world. And so therefore, we must make sure no part of our hearts is given to the occultic realm. No part of us. And if we have had backgrounds that have been occultic, make sure we deal with it, so that when we learn to hear the voice of God, truly it is the pure voice of God. Not anything that was where the enemy tried to hijack our thoughts. Are you here with me? Very important. Okay? So make sure that there is repentance. Okay, I will finish with this particular scripture, because the rest is just, okay? I've just highlighted that. Now, point number 6. Let us think outside the box. We mentioned some of it yesterday. In Psalms 103, verse 7, it says this: to the children of Israel, God showed them His acts. But to Moses, God showed him the ways of God. We can read about the acts of God through the Bible, through a lot of books written by people. I want to challenge you further. Ask God to teach you His ways. One of the ways in which we can learn about God is when we hear His voice. Yesterday I mentioned He will use our personality to speak to us. If you've got a gentle personality, God will use, that which you are so used to. You are gentle. Can you imagine if you are very gentle, someone loud comes to you and shouts at you, I think you will just run. So you don't need that. And because you respond to gentleness, the Holy Spirit will speak to you according to the level of your personality. For me, I move a lot in spontaneity. That's what God does for me. Many times He will speak very direct. And God does not beat around the bush anyway. Very direct, but He catches my attention. Because that's what I am, that's how I am. Okay? So you learn to distinguish, learn to see the pattern. Remember, the acts of God, you can read in the Bible, you can read it in books, you can see what, can hear stories about what God did for different people. But I'm going to provoke you to a holy jealousy in God. That you begin to hunger and cry out to God, say, God, oh, I used to say this to God, whatever prophetic word, good prophetic word that different ones are receiving, you know what I did? I was so greedy, I was sitting there, different ones were praying for different people, ministering, good and strong prophetic word. I said, Lord, I take this for myself. Lord, I take this one. Lord, I take this one. Is it all right? It's all right. But make sure I got to pay the price. That means that word is really from God for the person. But if I want it, I take it. I say, Lord, you help me. I don't know how I'm going to ever walk in that. But I have seen the Lord honoring that hunger, that thirst for Him. I have seen the Lord doing far more than what I've ever asked or think or imagined. I have even prayed, you know, like you hear about Catherine Kuhlman's anointing. I say, Lord, I take that anointing. Whatever that is good, I take. All the bad ones, I don't want, Lord. Of course, He won't give. But that's my hunger. That's my passion. And I saw the Lord doing things in my life. I saw the Lord moving in the ministry. We have a lot of signs and wonders. A lot of wonderful things that God does. Most of the time, we don't even know it. Most of the time, it has got nothing to do with us. God will move anyway. And it's done. We have seen mass deliverances in meetings. Not one or two. Many, many meetings. Where there's spontaneous deliverance everywhere. Because the presence of God was there. Even if we are not ministering, we have not started ministry, just gone into the building to tune the guitar. People started to walk in, some started to talk to us. Some people, the minute they walk in, the anointing of God started to work in them. They just went to the bathroom and threw up. Because God was in the midst of cleaning up lives. You see, we want God to show up. When you pray, you expect God to do things. You expect. And when you start to pray for people perhaps in need, many of you here, you meet with people that in fact your pastors will not meet. Isn't it true? Your pastors will meet the people that perhaps you will not meet. But can you imagine each one of us here, each one of you here, you carry the presence of God. You hear the voice of God. When you hear the voice of God, you can bring the answers to people in need. Not that which you know by reading or by experience, but that which you receive by revelation in your spirit. And you can just pray and release that, and people can get set free or healed. Or God's answer just begins to come. Sometimes it's through prophetic counsel. That means God would have taken you by what you have been experiencing in time past. And when you minister to people, you see different types. You identify by different types. It's very interesting. That's what the Lord has taught us. You identify by different types, and it's so easy to know what God is actually wanting to do. Okay? So, our past experiences, none of it will be wasted. God will use it. But, only thing is this, we got to make sure that we are not looking to our experience as a point of reference. We are looking to the Holy Spirit all the time. So that there will be freshness. You see, we cannot put the Holy Spirit in a box. We cannot make a monument out of the move of God. Don't make a monument out of the move of God. Make sure it is something relevant. It is something present. You're pressing into God for something fresh all the time. Make sure you excel in the things of God. Because God wants us all to be specialists in Him. That means, in everything in God, you know, like when He said this, we've got to know God in every area. We've got to be able to move in every area, totality. Because there might come a time where there is a certain need. I remember telling our church people, we'd say to them, we said, you know, we're going to train you in the things that we have gone through. We're going to do training, very practical. We'll share with you. And they hardly come to us for counseling or for ministry. But for the simple reason is this. Because we are called to the body of Christ. We cannot always be around. And we don't want them to develop for us, okay, a dependency on us. Because we are not around. And therefore, when they are faced with a crisis, they got to know how to touch God for themselves. Number one, they must know a task for themselves. Number two, when we started to share with them our experiences, they take all of that which we have shared with them. And when people come to them with those needs that they hear us talk about, they are able to minister like us, so to say. What I'm saying is that the DNA begin to pass down. The same confidence that we have in God, they have the same confidence that God will use them. How I put it, they have the examples, but they don't rely on the examples. They rely on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will fish out. When I use the word fish out, that means will draw out something in their spirit man because of that experience with God. Okay? So it's important that you must have an experience with God in the area of hearing His voice. You must have it. And I want to encourage each one of us, it's our right. We are the sheep. Okay? As sheep of God, we must hear the voice of the great shepherd. He longs for us to hear His voice. He wants us to excel in hearing His voice so that we will be successful. You know, God wants to break spirits of failures in people's lives. God wants to break discouragement. You see, by right, we as believers, we should be the head and not the tail. Isn't it true? That's our privilege. That's our right. When God is the head of your business, because you hear the voice of God, God will show you what to do. God will show you where you can get a good sale without you manipulating. God, I don't believe in manipulation. But I do believe in this. Is that when God shows you something, just like the you know, they were going to catch a fish and there was late at night, there were no fishes. Peter. And Jesus just came along and said, throw your net. Launch out into the deep. And they just obeyed. And they said, Lord, whole night there was no fish already. But at the word of Jesus, they just obeyed. And suddenly there was a big haul of fish. Just because Jesus said. Now the same thing with each and every one of us. Because Jesus sticks something to your heart. There's going to be creativity. There's going to be life. Call into being things that are not as though they were. You know, when you pray, pray in faith. Be so specific. Be so specific. And when you hear the voice of God, you know, God will speak very specific to you. Develop. Keep on developing. Keep on growing. God will prosper you. Okay? Now, oh, I put here, number 7. Know the word of God for yourself. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, they came a point. They did not want to hear the voice of God. They told Moses, you hear God's voice and you tell us what God is saying. Please do not abdicate your role, your authority as a believer, your authority as a son and daughter in God, that God wants you to hear His voice. Do not abdicate that. Because when you do, you may be hearing another voice. Someone might speak something to you, seemingly it's a voice of God, but it is not. And another thing is this, do not be dogmatic to try to force the word of God into people's lives. Don't. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Don't try to bring conviction. Don't try to make a person agree with you. Because if it is from God, people will just agree. But if it's not from God, let it go. Because human beings, we can make mistakes. Have we made mistakes before? Yes, we have. It's all right. We learn. Okay? So, know the word of God. I cannot say this enough. Because sometimes in the process of learning to hear the voice of God, or even people learning to going into prophetic intercession, they can even make mistakes. Or anyone that learns how to prophesy, they can also make mistakes in every area. None of us comes into all these things overnight. Learning. Here a little, there a little. We keep on learning. Keep on growing. Okay? So the Word of God is our standard. But when we read the Word of God, we shouldn't be reading it from an intellectual point of view either. We read it because the Word of God feeds us. It feeds our spirit man and you just feel full and satisfied. You just know that this is our spiritual food. Okay? You just know that it satisfies your very being. And when we hear the voice of God, it's like God just affirming us things, guiding us, leading us, guiding us all the way. And it's very precious. Very, very precious.